Good to see Mike's family here. I guess Corey took the baby out. Tommy? Oh, stand up, Tom, so everybody can see you. Tommy? Hannah? Austin? And the little one that she took out is Joshua. Now, the one that's coming, Lord willing, in September will be either Mike. If it's a girl, it's going to be Micah, even though Micah is a girl, is a boy's name. But that's Mike already told me that. I've known Mike Schwartz since he was a teenager. I played football for Huntington Central?
Voorhees.
And a great football player. Got a scholarship to University of Texas at El Paso. And then I'll let Mike go on from there. Was also in the New Jersey State Police. My badge number was 1727, which means I was the 1727th person to graduate from the academy. And I was the 58th class. Mike's badge number was 5213, so that shows you how old I am. And his class was the 114th class. But we appreciate Mike being here. I've had a chance to go out and visit him and his dear wife and kids, and he has a wonderful family, and we pray that God will help him as he shares what God has laid on his heart here tonight. Mike?
Okay. If we could just pray for a moment, please, with me. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I ask that Jesus be glorified. And I pray for the one here tonight, or the several who are struggling. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to them. And Lord, that they would meet you in that very special way. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I look out and I see a lot of the faces, I actually recognize probably, I'd say a half to a third. And that's really good. You recognize me, and I'm sure you recognize my, or you don't recognize my nice big belly, but that's there. I am incredibly nervous. Years ago, before I got into the state police and when I was playing college football and everything else, I spoke all the time. I don't know how many times I spoke publicly at different places. And then when I was a trooper in the beginning, I also spoke at a few places. I don't think I've ever been this nervous in my entire life because I have a whole new appreciation for God's people. And the most valuable things that the Lord has here is His Word and His kids. And if you're going to address or handle either one, you've got to be right. And I see that. I didn't always see that, but I see that now. But I just want to tell you a little bit about myself and kind of what happened and how I got saved and where my life went. And I just want to praise Jesus and hope that if there's somebody here struggling tonight, if there's somebody who has sinned, come back. Come back as soon as you can. Because the longer you stay out, like I did, the worse it gets. And when you hear my story, it's easy for me to look back and say, what was wrong with me? Why didn't I just come back to the loving arms of Jesus? But we don't. Sometimes we take the hard road. When I was 16 years old, the man the man who actually led me to the Lord is here tonight. And I often still pray for him. And I think, you know, when we share Christ with others, you never know. But that man had a tremendous influence upon me. And I certainly thank him for his faithfulness for telling me about Jesus. I got saved at age 16, and I was just a baby in Christ. I really didn't know much. I was a Catholic, and on my side of the family, for the German and also the Irish side, they were all Catholics, and Catholicism was both, obviously, my mom and dad's side. And at 16 years old, I refused to go back to the Catholic Church. That was my decision. I would not go back. That was pretty tough on my father. I came from a pretty tough home environment there. My mom was tremendous. She was wonderful. And I'm not just saying that because she's here with us tonight, but she truly was. I served the Lord at a young age. I got saved. My father would not allow me to go to the Fellowship Church, which is where I actually started going. When I had a chance to, he forbid me to go to any other church. But he saw the change in my life, and eventually he allowed me to go. I got my license. I kept pleading with him, and the Lord worked in his heart where he eventually allowed me to come to the Fellowship Church, and that's where I met Pastor Tom. I was one of those kids or people, if you will, were in the Bible where the Lord says that I am the Lord your God, and if you keep my testimonies and my commandments and you serve me, I will bless you incredibly. And he lists and he goes on to tell us the blessings that we enjoy when we're in Christ and when we follow him. From the time the Lord worked in my dad's heart, which was incredible, to just simply let me go to church, I had teachers call my mom because they had never seen such a change in a kid before. I was a bad kid before I got saved. That's the way it was. And there were some teachers who had actually talked to my mom and said, we have never seen a kid go from really being a problem in my junior year. It was going into my junior year. I got saved over that summer. I was in football, wrestling, and track. But it was more than that, and I would share Christ when I had an opportunity to do that. The Lord blessed me with a football scholarship. I went to the University of Texas, full ride. Tony Tolbert was on my team. He played for the Cowboys. Seth Joyner, for any Eagles fans, he was a friend of mine. He played on my team as well. I actually ended up coming back here to New Jersey where I had gotten married. And I am divorced and remarried. I have three beautiful children who are in Colorado, Timmy, Luke, and Amanda. I had a really nice job with the Department of Corrections. I had a decent paying job. I was doing well there. I had a life dream, if you will, since I was just a child. My father had been a police officer for a while, to be a New Jersey State Trooper. And I did everything I could to one day get into that job, and the Lord blessed me with that. There's no doubt, for anybody who's familiar with the state police, it is an incredibly hard process to get in. Steve Trosham in the room, I believe he might remember when I was going through the, first you take the written exam, and from the written exam, then you have to go to the oral boards, to a physical, actually go to the physical, and then there's an incredible background check where they speak to your elementary school, high school teachers, friends, neighbors. They run all kinds of background checks on you. I passed everything. This was also kind of a unique thing because my class in the state police was the first class where you had to have either 2 years of law enforcement or 2 years of college, or you had to have a four-year college degree. I didn't have the degree, but I had the 2 years of law enforcement and the 2 years of college, and it worked out well where I was able to be qualified. But they came to me. There were two troopers that later on became my friends. They knocked on the door. This was while I was going through the process. I'm jumping around, and I apologize for that. But they said that you were no longer being considered as a recruit because I didn't meet the qualifications, that they were not going to accept the State Department of Corrections as law enforcement. So I was out. And I remember I called Pastor Dunn from our church in Flemington at the time, and some of the men at the church had prayed, and miraculously, I was told it came all the way up to the colonel's decision. At the time, it was Colonel Williams, but he looked at my case, he looked at my file, And everything that I had scored so high on, he said, you know, let's give him a shot. And the next day I was back in. But it was just it was a miracle. When I went through the academy, unless you're in the military, we've had some Marines. We actually had a Navy SEAL in my class. Pastor Tom can tell you, we were standing in the chow line, and the instructors would literally walk up and down and just stop and say, "Schwartz, you want to quit today? Come on, let me carry your bags." I mean, they would do anything they could to get you to quit. They would tell you, "We don't want you. Go home. You're not going to be a trooper." They would do anything they could to get you to quit. I would stand in line. I remember one day, I don't know what we did, if anything at all. We stood at attention, I think, for 7.5, 8 hours. They called us out. They had us at attention, and they put us in parade rest and left. Just left. And it was incredible. I say that because I would stand there, and I would pray. I would think of the people who had prayed for me. I would think of the sacrifices that the guys at church would make for my family, and I would pray for them, and we got through it. So on September 23rd, 1998, I received my badge 5213. I walked across the stage, I saluted the colonel, got a handshake, and received my badge as a trooper. The neat thing about the state police is that badge number, although my career did not end the way I wish it had, that badge number will never be repeated. Nobody will ever have my badge. Nobody will ever have Pastor Tom's badge. That will be ours in the organization until the Lord comes back for our millennial, which I know they're here. I don't know what happens. So anyway, so that's that. I remember meeting with Pastor Tom after I had become a trooper, and Pastor had said, "Mike, I want to tell you something. You are going to encounter some unbelievable temptations with this job." And he was right. They're there. They really are. I was married. I had a family at the time. And I had absolutely no right getting involved with some of the things that I did. The battleground for us as Christians is on our knees by ourselves in our prayer closet before the Lord. That's where we go to battle. When you put yourself knowingly in a situation at a club, at a bar, and some young lady comes up to you, if you're a guy, whatever the circumstances may be, you already lost. You're done. And that's what I found out real quick. I committed adultery. I began drinking. And it wasn't short after that. My entire world was about to be completely turned upside down. There was a separation from my first wife that later ended in a divorce. To make a long story short, and I want to be careful because we have my children and other children in the room, so I want to be careful with what I say. I did a lot of those things that to the world would just be normal, just having a good time. You know, sowing your oats. I got saved at a young age. I think of my own children. I think of young kids as they grow up through the church, and the world looks so appealing, and it does. And I had heard pastors say many times when I sat under his ministry that if there was no appeal to sin, we wouldn't want to do it. But the fact of the matter is, sin is attractive. It has its season of pleasure. We all know that. And unfortunately, I had to learn that the very hard way. The last station that I was at was the New Jersey Turnpike. I was actually being considered at the time to go into the governor's detail, it was Governor Whitman at the time, to be in the security detail, which is much like the Secret Service, where, but on a state level, you would protect the governor wherever she went or he goes. You would go set up beforehand, make sure everything is safe. And that's a very prestigious unit to get into. And so that was in the works. and I ended up getting hurt. I was excommunicated from the church in Flemington because of my adultery and because I refused to repent. I had men in the church come up to me, good men, Steve was one of them, and encourage me to come back, to knock it off. It's bad, but it doesn't have to get worse. But I refused to listen. I continued down that path. I hardened my heart. It is a very sad thing when the Lord lets you get what you want in regard to sin. But He does. I don't deserve to be standing here in front of you. I deserve death and hell. That's where I should be. He chose, through His mercy, to grant me repentance, which is why I'm here. But I don't deserve to be here. But I didn't repent. I would not listen to it. I was a trooper. I was finally a man. I was finally doing my own thing. I finally had a job. I felt good about myself. I made all kinds of excuses to justify my living, to justify what I was doing. Deep down inside, I knew it was wrong. That's all there was to it. It was wrong. If you're His child and you know what you're doing is wrong, it's there. Now, everybody, including yourself, may look at you and say, I don't believe you're saved. I did not believe I was saved. I remember one night being so intoxicated, I could not remember my name because I was asked what my name was. And in that intoxication, I could not forget the Lord. It was an incredible experience that I still remember. I don't know how much I drank, but I could not get Jesus, and it was almost like, as drunk as I was still hearing that. But I continued to harden my voice, my heart. Sadly, while I was a trooper, I was involved in an off-duty alcohol-related domestic violence incident where I hurt my wife. Very badly. I have to wear that for the rest of my life. I don't know what happened that day, but I drank a bottle of alcohol. I took 32 Ambien sleeping tablets. I was out on medical leave from the state police. I took about 30 Vicodin, all kinds of Percocet. I took everything, and then I drank another bottle of alcohol. And these were big bottles. I should have been dead. I don't remember going into this state, but I assaulted my wife. I trashed the house. I did all kinds of crazy things. And on a Sunday afternoon, I remember sobering up, coming out of it, and I woke up in jail. And I'd gone from a New Jersey state trooper to an inmate. And of course, of about 10 hours, that's not too good. I was in jail for 17 days. I miraculously made bail. The Lord still protected me and still helped me during this time, but I refused to repent. Pastor Tom had come to see me. This was 1998. Pastor Tom had come to see me. We had this conversation when I had seen Pastor recently, that I thought I had repented, but I really didn't. There is a difference between worldly repentance and godly repentance. And here it is. I never understood it. Here it is, if you can. Worldly repentance basically is, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry for the circumstances that I now have to go through because of my sin. Godly repentance is, I'm sorry that I put Jesus on the cross, and I'm sorry that I did that, that my Lord had to pay. And I am sorry that it's an offense against a holy God. That's the difference. I couldn't understand it at the time. I know it now. As a result of the plea bargain, I went to Hazelden. If any of you have ever heard of Hazelden, Hazelden is one of the country's premier rehab facilities. It's $15,000 for 28 days. That's what it is. I had the state police insurance at the time. They actually still paid for it. Although I lost my job, I was still covered. I went to Hazleton. When you're a Christian and you know the truth and you have to sit there and listen to counselors tell you what you know is wrong, whether it's a 12-step program, whether it's any type of circle group, whatever it is, I'm telling you, it hurts inside. And you can't say anything about it because nobody wants to hear it. So under the plea bargain, I was looking at, realistically, the initial charges. Many of you who knew me at the time read them in the paper. They were all true. I was looking at a lot of time. The plea bargain gave me an opportunity to go seek long-term treatment, which the prosecutor wanted me to go to an inpatient facility. I went to Hazleton for 30 days. I went to Phillip House in Monmouth County, New Jersey, where I lived there for a year inpatient, and then I did a year of outpatient. Now, everybody thought I was going to get probation when I went before the judge, because for 2.5 years I did everything I was supposed to do. I didn't get in trouble. I hadn't had a drop of alcohol, not even a speeding ticket. I go before the court in 2001. The incident happened in 1998, and I finally went to court in 2001, and the judge sentenced me to 4 years in state prison. So that's where I went. I went into the state prison system. If you ever decide you want to go to a state prison, please do not go into the state police first. I did not have any friends. You can only imagine. I was the most popular inmate in the entire facility. Although, believe it or not, there was another state trooper in there with me, Mark Murphy, who, again, alcohol. He was intoxicated, went through a red light, killed a guy, and he was in jail as well as I was. So, for whatever reason, they decided to put these two state troopers in a state prison, and it wasn't really too good. Eventually, I got out. I'm still trying to work through. As I look back now and look at what had happened at that time and how these events transpired, I'm still trying to figure out all the things that, why I wouldn't just come back to the Lord. Why? And I shake my head. I don't know. At the end of 2001, my wife and I started our business. We have a small horse magazine that we publish, and Lord willing, in the spring, we're going to come out with a farming magazine as well. I gave it half-hearted attempts at repentance, but I never truly repented. I would say I would try to go to church. I would try to read my Bible, but it just wasn't there. In 2003, I got in trouble once again. I was back in jail again. Same thing. This was actually the beginning of the end as far as my rebellion. When I was in jail, my wife is a godly woman, and I praise the Lord for her. Basically, her and the prosecutor and the judge agreed that he is not getting out until he begins to understand whatever it is the Lord is trying to teach him. My wife held her ground. She wanted me to go to Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is a drug and alcohol program, which is under the Assembly of God churches, okay, which is nationwide. I was in jail for 5.5 months. I did get probation, and I was released to go to Teen Challenge. There was a lot of struggles there because I am of the Reform persuasion. I don't align myself with the Assembly of God teachings. I definitely Reformed Baptist. The church that my wife and I attend now is a Grace Brethren church, which is very similar. There were slight doctrinal differences, but very different. We would believe in the triune immersion for baptism. We go under three times. And when we have a communion service, we actually have a meal as the Lord did. We wash feet. Some of you may have experienced that. It's really pretty cool. It's a nice communion service. When I was in Teen Challenge, my wife was struggling once again. And as a man, when you see that, you have to sometimes stop and look at yourself and say, this is what you did. And this is what sin does to us. This is, when you're walking with the Lord, you can see these things so clear. This is so easy for us when we're following the Lord. But once we take those little steps to sin, and it's the little sins that get us. The reason I fell as a trooper is because I did not guard my heart. Had I been on my knees, praying and following the Lord, I wouldn't have placed myself in those situations to be tempted and to begin with. And there wouldn't have been any reason to go down that path. I believe that with all my heart. But this is the way it went. Well, I was in Teen Challenge. My wife had asked me what to look for in a church. And let me tell you how important it is. I was only 17, 18 years old when I was under Pastor Tom's ministry. But I remember him saying, you can tell a lot about a church if it has a morning service, an evening service, and a midweek prayer service. Do you still say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that stuck with me. So I told my wife, Corey, to look for those things in a church. Well, when we were up in Pennsylvania, we're out in Marysburg at the time, which is really no man's land. It's kind of, there's Harrisburg, there's Allentown, and somewhere there's us. Kind of, but that's kind of what it is. She was going to Walmart, and she accidentally made a left turn, which obviously there's no accidents in the providence of God. She passed this church that has a Sunday morning service, an evening service, and a prayer service on Wednesday night. She asked me about it, so I said, yeah, why don't you go ahead and check it out. Things really started to happen now. The Lord really started to bring me back. This does have a happier ending, but I will ask for your prayers when we're done. She got into the church. The people there came and really ministered to our family. They got off their seat and they came and helped us. And I think that, and that's how we try to be now. That's the best thing you can do as a church. If there's a need and you see somebody who has a need, go help that need. That's what we believe at our church. I'm sure that's what we believe here. I was doing so well at Teen Challenge, things are really starting to line up, that they released me early, which was awesome. They don't release anybody early. I did have a lot of differences. I always approached their differences respectfully. I would tell them from the Bible how I felt about tongues and how I felt about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how I felt about eternal security. And they let me go 6 months earlier. I was given my certificate. Everything was fine. I've been back to speak there one time formally since, and so that has worked out really well. Pastor Keith at our church took me under his wing and kind of helped me to understand some of the things that I had been struggling with. Now, here's a big thing. Before we could become members at our church, well, Corey could become a member, but I couldn't because I was excommunicated from Grace Covenant. And that's a big deal. When you're excommunicated from a church, that must be addressed. You can't just blow that off. That has to be dealt with. And we contacted Pastor Dunn, and Pastor Dunn said that he would meet with Pastor Keith and I. We met one afternoon out in Pennsylvania, and it went well. Pastor Dunn came back to the church and spoke about our conversation. And one of the most fantastic days of my life was when I came back to the church and I asked for the formal forgiveness and I asked for the release, and they unanimously released me from the church discipline. I carried that for 10 years. And when you're given over to the devil for excommunication, and that's what it is, and that comes out of 1 Corinthians, that is a very, very scary position to be in, especially if you're his kid, because you know what it means. Why we choose to be hard-headed sometimes, I don't know. Today, I enjoy incredible freedom in Christ. I'm not there, but man, I am not what I used to be. Because we have children, I want to choose my words carefully, but I can say with Judgment Day honesty that the Lord has delivered me from 3 incredible addictions. One was the alcohol, okay? And the other one was pornography, okay? It can, if you are here today if you are struggling, I'm telling you, it can be taken away. I fell on my knees. I cried before the Lord. It left me. It is gone. With Judgment Day honesty, I tell you that of all the things that I never thought would ever be out of my life, there would be that one issue, and it is gone. And I don't feel like a pig anymore. I feel clean. And if there's somebody in this room who's struggling with that, if there's somebody who understands the loved one or anything, Pastor can tell you that there are good men of God who have been gripped by that, and it's destructive into their life. It can destroy them. But there's hope. The last year of our lives has been some of the best days of our life. We have enjoyed such freedom. We have just enjoyed so much. And I thank the Lord for that. So if you're here tonight and you don't know anything about, maybe you're visiting, this is the first time you're listening to some big guy talk about who knows what, we have to come to Christ. One day you're going to die. One day you're going to stand or kneel before Almighty God. If you are in Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven. It's a gift. He made me alive. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve a wife and kids. But He chose by His mercy to bring me back. I still can't read the prodigal son and think that He loves you so much that He'll bring you back like that. God the Father loves you so much that He slayed His son for you, but you got to come. If you don't come, you go to hell. That's how simple it is. That sounds cruel. But when you understand how much the Lord loves you, it's an incredible thought. My little guy, I could never sacrifice him for anybody, not even for someone I love. And yet Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. I don't know if it's appropriate or it's okay with me, if it's okay with you. If anybody has any questions, I'll gladly answer them. I shared kind of like this once before to up a teen challenge, and there were some questions and interactions, and it went well. If you have any questions, it's... Is that okay? Okay. I think that's about it. Okay. All right, Beth.
Let's bow in prayer. How marvelous is Your grace, O Lord God. We thank You for Mike and Corey and the children. And Lord, You said that the way of the transgressor is hard, that when we be not deceived, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And Mike certainly understands that. But we're thankful, Lord, that when a sinner who has never been saved or a child of God who's living in sin will turn to You and cry out to You for mercy. Oh, thank God. Thank You, Lord, that You will forgive and You will restore. We pray that with Mike and Corey and the kids, You'll restore those years that the locusts have eaten. That You would bless Mike and Corey, that they would continue to be faithful to the house of God where they worship. They'd be faithful to be in the Word and in prayer, knowing that when we think we stand, we need to take heed lest we fall. Lord, we need to take heed, every one of us. Every one of us can fall into any sin when we're not using the means of grace that You've ordained. So, Father, we pray and ask that You'll be with Mike and Corey, and that You'll bless them in the upcoming days, especially the little one that she's carrying. We pray that that little one will be strong and healthy, and that she'd be able to live her without a lot of problems, and that You would bless them richly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.